Hello there and welcome. I'm James. I am the pastor of the Glenwood Moravian Community Church here in Madison, Wisconsin. And this is The Essentials. It's our podcast where we explore our faith, we wrestle with questions, and we seek to find the hope that we see and create out in the world. For today's lesson, I have our scripture reading and our message from Sunday, November 3rd. We were celebrating All Saints' Day in worship. Our reading came from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 3 through 17. It is the Message translation. Elimelech died, and Naomi was left, she and her two sons. The sons took Moabite wives. The name of the first was Orpah, and the second Ruth. They lived there in Moab for the next 10 years. Then the two brothers, Mahlon and Chilion, died. Now the woman was left without either her young men or her husband. One day she got herself together, she and her two daughters-in-law, to leave the country of Moab and set out for home. She had heard that God had been pleased to visit his people and give them food. And so she started out from the place she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law with her, on the road back to the land of Judah. After a short while on the road, Naomi told her daughters-in-law, "Go back, go home and live with your mothers, and may God treat you as graciously as you treated your deceased husbands and me. May God give each of you a new home and a new husband." She kissed them and they cried openly. They said, "No, we're going on with you to your people." But Naomi was firm. "No, dear daughters, this is a bitter pill for me to swallow, more bitter for me than for you. God has dealt me a hard blow." Again they cried openly. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth embraced her and held on. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is going back to live with her own people and gods. Go with her." But Ruth said, "Don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I go. Where you live, I'll live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I'll die. And that's where I'll be buried. So help me, God. Not even death itself is going to come between us." Here ends the reading of the word. So All Saints' Day might not carry the same weight here in the Moravian Church as it does in other contexts. I certainly don't remember paying much attention to it as I grew up in the church. I learned more about All Saints' Day through its connection to Day of the Dead as I studied Spanish in high school. Dia de los Muertos started long before Spanish missionaries arrived in Mexico. It was an indigenous festival meant to honor and celebrate those who were dead. There'd be food and flowers and dancing as people viewed death as a continuation of life. Then Spanish missionaries converted many people to Catholicism. Dia de los Muertos and the practice of All Saints' Day, which began in the 4th century, kind of merged a little bit. So now, depending on where you are in the context, it might be a day of prayer and reflection. It might also be a joyous celebration. I think the day goes kind of under the radar for us as Moravians because our view of saints differs from the Catholic Church. In the Catholic Church, someone's potential to be a saint is rigorously discussed, it's seriously debated before their name can be officially canonized by the Pope and the Vatican. Then saints are meant to serve as an intermediary between us and God. You pray directly to a saint for specific reasons. Saint Jude is the patron saint of lost causes. Saint Christopher is the saint of travelers. Saint Cecilia is the saint of music. And then many Catholic churches are named after their saints. The Catholic Church across the yard from my school growing up was Saints Peter and Paul. So it probably shapes your observance of All Saints' Day, when the life and memory of the saints are such a tangible part of your church experience. In the Moravian Church and in other Protestant churches, we don't have that approach. There's no official list, so there's no debating who deserves to be a saint. We don't pray to them or expect them to intercede on our behalf. We say that all believers are saints, and some can give us extraordinary examples of what it means to live a Christian life. Our new district president, Jason Anderson, has picked up where his predecessor left off with a practice in that as he visits various churches, he'll make a Facebook post saying that he was glad to be in worship with the saints at such and such a congregation. So, with no formal process to establish or understand the saints of our denomination, it really might not be as important of a day to remember our saints on November 1st. It's an opportunity to think about whose footsteps we're walking in, to think of who paved the way and set the example of faith in our lives and in our churches, the people we're inspired by today. We do get a little guidance for how we can observe All Saints' Day, and that help comes through our Book of Worship. In the beginning of the Book of Worship, there is an All Saints' Day liturgy that we can use. Then there's a section of hymns that's titled Martyrs and Saints for us to use. But as I started thinking about who has gone before us in our Moravian church, as I thought about who our saints might be, an uncomfortable pattern was affirmed by this section of hymns. So when I think of Moravian history, I think of the big three: John Huss, John Amos Comenius, and Count Zinzendorf. And it seems like those who assembled the hymnal that we use were of similar mind, because on page 391, a hymn we'll sing and worship today, there's optional verses, one dedicated to each of those three men. So the saints of our Moravian Church, this denomination that goes back over 500 years, our saints boil down to the example of three men. And it reminds me of a conversation I had a few weeks ago. One of our members and I were sitting having coffee before worship in the room next to our social area. We were probably recapping the wedding, her wedding, that she had just the past week. And then something caught her attention, some pictures that were behind me. Pictures of three men. And she boldly asked, "Hey, who are those three old white guys pictured behind you?" As I turned around, I found the pastors of Glenwood Moravian, who became bishops of the Moravian Church: Reverend Miewoldt, Reverend Barand, and Reverend Wolf. So, not wanting to take anything away from their legacy here at Glenwood, and not wanting to take anything away from the legacy of Huss, Comenius, and Zinzendorf, it's good to celebrate the work they've done. But at the same time, it feels like we aren't shining a light on a large portion of the saints in our church. So, in so many ways, I'm proud of our Moravian Church. I'm proud that we're inclusive, that we empower women, that we form relationships with other Christian denominations who do the same. And as we've been on the forefront of tremendous and bold progress, it hurts now and then to see how long it took us to get where we are and to realize how far we still have to go. Elizabeth and I got talking about the prevalence of old white men on our church's walls. As a future old white man myself, I confess that that would be a pretty common sight around Moravian churches. And I shared that the first female bishop, while Glenwood has the memory of three male pastors who became bishops, the very first female bishop in the entire Moravian unity was elected in 1998. Less than 30 years ago. The Southern Province here in the United States elected their first female bishop, Carol Foltz, in 2018. And there are Moravian women in the United States today who are struggling to find a call because some churches aren't ready to extend a call to a woman. I'm so encouraged that our denomination supports women, especially compared to other churches. But it's challenging to face the reality that is the long way we still have to go. So, when it comes to the saints of our Moravian Church, those who inspire our faith today, we have to do better to paint a more complete picture. That means I have to do better. I have to tell you about Anna Nitschmann, who was the chief elderess or the spiritual leader of the Moravian women during Zinzendorf's time. And she was one of the first Protestant women to hold an official church position. I have to tell you about Benigna, who founded what is now today Moravian University in Pennsylvania. When she founded this school, it was the first institution in the United States dedicated to educating girls. Anna Marie Hesse worked as a missionary to indigenous communities. Rebecca Proton was a slave, and when she became free, she dedicated her life to serving those who were enslaved, advocating for spiritual equality and social justice. Looking further back in our church history, I have to tell you about Ruth, who we heard about this morning, a woman who had no hope of a happy life if she left with her mother-in-law to live as a foreigner in a different land. But she went anyway, because she refused to abandon Naomi. And that Ruth would go on to be the great grandmother of Jesse, meaning she is in the lineage of Jesus. I could tell you about Deborah, who is the only female judge of Israel, Esther, who saved her people from genocide, Priscilla and Phoebe, who Paul leaned on and were leaders in the early church. I could tell you about our modern day saints. Saint Christy in Milwaukee, who's feeding people healthy meals. Saint Mandy in Pennsylvania, fiercely advocating for the homeless in her community. Saint Megan, just down the road from us in DeForest, as she continues to lead worship as they are searching for their next pastoral leader. There are saints in our Christian and Moravian world that we have not heard enough about. Saints that can inspire and lead. The hallowed bishops on our church wall here at Glenwood, they didn't keep this church going on their own. They were sustained by the saints who've gone through this church. It's an observation Elizabeth made as she said, "This church, probably every church, would cease to exist without the faithful women who support the ministry." So we might not have a formal practice for how we observe All Saints' Day in the Moravian Church. Maybe the day itself can expose a weakness that we have, that we don't have a clear and full picture of our saints. That we need to write new verses for that hymn instead of leaning on Hus, Comenius, and Zinzendorf for the millionth time. We need new pictures on our church wall here at Glenwood to celebrate the strong women who have been in the pulpit before I have. And we need to have a better understanding of the women who kept the good news of Jesus alive in our church. So if you are walking with Jesus and exploring your faith because a woman shared her faith with you, make sure you celebrate that. And then make sure you tell her story. Amen. I'm so grateful that you've tuned in for another episode. If you want to learn more about the church that I serve, it's Glenwood Moravian. You can find our website. You can stay up to date on events through Facebook. You could join us for worship on YouTube. If you want to learn more about the Moravian Church in general, you can check out moravian.org. So take care, be well. I'll catch you next time.